From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Welcome into the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com. Senior writer John Osier, plenty to get to today. We'll get to it coming up, though. But some news around here the last couple of days. Dante Fowler Jr. signed his rookie contract yesterday. And today, Neil Sterling, wide receiver from Monmouth, signed. And could there be more? It could be a possibility in the next day or two around here.
Yeah, I would expect it to be fairly rapid fire. And if it's not rapid fire, it'll be fairly routine when it happens. As everybody knows, the slotting system now with rookie contracts has made all this, it's not an afterthought, but it's a much, much easier process, and no drama expected.
And the word yesterday after Dante Fowler signed is, you know what, the organization did him right.
Mm-hmm.
There was the pre-workout contract that says, hey, you know, we're going to negotiate
right
fairly if he's hurt on the field. And that happened, so nothing changed at all. He got a fully guaranteed contract.
Apparently. Right, which every rookie draft pick signs a similar agreement. Because if they didn't, there'd be no reason for him to come because you don't take that kind of chance. The Jaguars could have gone a different way. There are different ways you can negotiate in good faith that are less good faith than what the Jaguars did. But it would have been kind of a cruddy move, and you wouldn't expect them to do that. There's nothing in the history that would suggest Shad Khan or David Caldwell would try to do anything to make the situation more difficult with what already is a difficult situation for the young man and the team. So now he's got his contract. He can fully focus to rehab as what he is, which is the number three draft pick, and a guy that this franchise believes is a core player who matters very much going forward. And he was treated as such, which he should have been.
Let's take a look at this week's show. Bucky Brooks will join us from NFL Network. We'll play This or That with Brian Sexton as well. And Kyle O'Brien, the Jaguars Director of College Scouting, scheduled to join us in studio coming up. You can get in on the show at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. And we welcome in our first guest over the phone line today, NFL media analyst and former Jaguar, Bucky Brooks. How are you, Bucky?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, and let's start off with Fowler. That's the big news around here. Obviously, tore his ACL. He's out for this season. But what does this say about his future, kind of the way he's handled this, if you've seen it from the outside?
You know, having a chance to talk to him on draft night, I think he's a guy that's really enthusiastic about playing football. I think he's a guy that really loves the game. And anytime you have a guy that's passionate like that, who has a high football IQ, that likes to play at a high level with a high motor, and he has a nice set of skills, I think he has an opportunity to be an outstanding pro. It's unfortunate that he was hurt because I thought this year would have been a great year for him to sit behind Chris Clemens, to mix in and to play, and to kind of learn how the Jaguars go about doing things. But based on all the things that I've heard, he's still going to fully immerse himself in football, and I still think that the future is bright for him. He'd be a very, very good player for them as a core player for the Jaguars.
Bucky, John Osier here. I appreciate you joining us. If you take Fowler and leave him in the mix, obviously, because he will matter very much for this draft class after this year, what were your thoughts on him as a selection, looking back at the draft itself and at the overall draft class for the Jaguars?
You know, it's interesting because I think he's a nice, complimentary piece to have on the defensive line. Now, I don't believe he's necessarily like a designated pass rusher, a guy that is like the bread and butter of your pass rush, but I do believe the way the Jaguars play on defense, he can bring a lot of different skills to the table. He can line up and hammer the tight end. He can come in your nickel situation, put his hand in the ground and really rush the passer. He's a very unique player, a guy that's very violent at the point of attack, stout against the run, also gives you a little pass rush skills. He's just a very, very good player, and I think when you're drafting at the top of the board, you want to make sure that you don't miss. I don't think he's going to be a player that you necessarily can miss with.
Bucky Brooks is with us from NFL Network. It tells you something about the organization and Fowler that they got this deal completed 4 days after the injury, right? And how is that perceived outside of this building?
Well, I mean, I think with all players, organizations and draft picks, you like to think that there's a trust and a bond. When you draft someone and you kind of allow them to go out to rookie minicamp before their deal is done, you're working with a good faith agreement that you're going to take care of them as if they're not injured, if they are hurt, and participating. I think with that, I think the Jaguars went above and beyond to make sure that they're sending a message to all of their young players that, look, we're an organization that cares about our players, and when you become a Jaguar, we're really committed to doing the best by you. And I think because of that, Dante Fowler is going to give them anything and everything that he has. And so I just think it's a good start. I think it's the right way to do business, and I commend David Caldwell, the Khan family, and also Gus Bradley for going about it in that manner.
What were some of your thoughts after Fowler on the draft? The Jaguars draft was graded pretty highly by a lot of analysts. What were your thoughts on it as it went deeper after Fowler?
You know, I really like what they did. I think they got probably one of the best running backs in the class in T.J. Yeldon. He's a guy that I liken to Le'Veon Bell in terms of his ability to run inside and outside, also make plays on the perimeter. A lot of people didn't realize he was really dealing with a nagging injury his final season at Alabama. He is going to be a guy that kind of gives them what they had with Fred Taylor, with Maurice Jones-Drew, a bell cow running back that can do everything. And when you're looking at that offense, he's the guy that you can hang your hat on and being able to run. He is going to help Blake Bortles be a much better quarterback because he's going to alleviate some of the pressure on Bortles to kind of carry that offense.
Are you a guy who still believes that bell cow back matters? There's some debate on that.
Oh, I think they still matter. I think when you look and dig down deep into the playoffs, the teams that were playing extended in the playoffs all had running backs that mattered, all had running backs that commanded attention. And the running game is coming back in vogue. As we're seeing the difficulty in finding franchise quarterbacks, teams are realizing that you have to have a stable running game because the running game really alleviates some of the pressure on the quarterback. I think we will see in the next 2 to 3 years the renaissance of the running back and the renaissance of the workhorse running back that does a lot and is a three-down back that stays on the field in every situation.
You can follow Bucky Brooks. That's pretty simple, at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. I know you're a big Twitter guy, right, Bucky?
Yeah, I am pretty active on Twitter. Not crazy, but I am pretty active.
Okay, well, we've got some Twitter questions from fans for you. How about that? Let's take a couple of those.
Okay, let's knock them out.
We'll start off with at JC underscore Edmund asking, who will be the biggest surprise impact this season, maybe from the Jags draft class? You mentioned Yeldon, but go a little bit deeper there. Is there anybody in this class that could stand out that might surprise some folks?
You know, I really like Rashad Green. I think Rashad Green is a guy that can come in and make contributions. Knowing Jerry Sullivan, the wide receiver coach, well, he likes smart players, guys that can do a variety of different things. When you look at the young wide receiver core that they've assembled, there are a lot of pieces in place. I think Green is a guy that can jump in the rotation and make a bunch of plays on the outside. He is a guy that just kind of has that impact at wide receiver. I would think that he could be a guy that can make an impact.
At JW Greenbaum asking you, curious what Bucky thinks the ceiling is for Fowler now. He remembers that you may not have been as high on Fowler as move the sticks Daniel Jeremiah was. What's your thought on that?
Well, my thought is he reminds me of a player much like Khalil Mack, much like Ahmad Brooks, a guy that can give you contributions but in a more a power rusher sense, meaning that if there's a speed rusher on the opposite side, he's a guy that can collect sacks because all of the attention will not be on him as being the primary pass rusher. Because he's versatile, because he can drop, because he can play a conventional, traditional Sam linebacker and do some other things, he brings value in a number of different ways. But I don't think his value will be solely reflected in the stat sheet in terms of being a guy that registers 10-plus sacks a year. He can be a very, very good player. I just don't expect him to be what I call an elite pass rusher for the Jags.
All right, Bucky, get in your time machine. I know it's been almost two decades since you were here. But what's your favorite memory? What's your, of your time with the Jaguars, what stands out?
The thing that stands out to me is the 96 season, being a team that was sitting at 3-7, getting on a hot streak, rolling into the playoffs, and then knocking off the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos. It was an enjoyable time for me because that team was young. We're still trying to figure it out. Playing in the secondary with Aaron Beasley, Dana Hall, some of the other guys that I played with, Robert Massey. It was a really enjoyable time. And also having Natron Means, having been his college teammate, having watched him kind of do it and put us on his back as a collegiate, and then watch him kind of put the offense on his back as a pro. It was really exciting. And not to mention Jimmy Smith and Kenny McCardell. It was just a great time to be in Jacksonville.
You had mentioned Pete Prisco and Tom Coughlin in that.
You know, the one thing, and I have to say this because Coach Coughlin can verify this, like, there was a lot made about his ways and the way he went about it. But as I grew up and as I finished playing in the pros and started kind of delving and coaching in the high school, I went back to Coach Coughlin a couple of years ago and I said, like, I now understand what you're talking about, being on the details, some of the things that we did that seemed like a little nuisance. I now understand, because when you're trying to get young guys on the same page in the same program, you have to kind of hold them to a high standard. I now get kind of the method behind his match.
It's amazing how many ex-players say that, Bucky.
It's one of those things, man, you have to go through it. You just kind of understand, what are we doing? Why do we have to have our chin straps buckled up? Why do you care about socks or whatever? But the details matter. And as you look at pro games, most games are decided by 7 points or less. The details matter. The penalties, the turnovers, all those little things really matter who wins and loses on Sunday.
Bucky, let's finish with a little plug for yourself. Your latest story from May 11th on the NFL site is a story on the top receiving units in the NFL today. You've got the Packers number one. Why is that? And where do the Jags kind of fall in your rating?
You know, I love the Jaguars. I love what they're building. I like Marquise Lee. I haven't watched him from the time he was in high school. I think he's going to be outstanding player. Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. I think they've done a good job. And they really have an outstanding coach in Jerry Sullivan. I think eventually they'll be a team that is up there as Blake Bortles and that crew grows. I think they eventually can get into top five recognition. The reason the Packers are up there is because they've done a great job of systematically drafting and developing their pieces. All of their players have been draft picks. They were second round, maybe third round guys. They put them on the field as returners, allow them to grow into roles. And then they do a great job of fitting the system around the players. And they have an outstanding quarterback. So when you have all those things, plus the tight ends that they have, a lot of versatile pieces that are very effective and efficient, the production is outstanding. I think they deserve to be number one.
Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks, NFL media analyst, former Jaguar, joining us. Great to talk to you. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Hey, man, thanks so much. Have me on anytime. I love being with the Jaguar.
Awesome. Bucky Brooks.
Bucky, thanks.
Reminder, also, the top 100 players of 2015 airs Wednesdays at 9 o'clock on NFL Network. Bucky Brooks involved in that as well. Season tickets. Get more in 2015. Become a season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. The stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the league. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 today. We welcome in Brian Sexton. Before we get to the this and that portion of
today's
show, we might do that. Your initial memory of Bucky Brooks.
As a guy who you could go to in the locker room for almost anything, anytime, which is no surprise to the people who just heard him. He's very well-spoken, understands the game. Even back then, as a young player, was someone who could provide you with a little perspective. And then I remember him moving into scouting. And all of those things that I thought about him and how astute he was in his knowledge of the game translated well to scouting, and obviously it has for him at NFL.com.
Very evident when he played that whatever his career brought, it was going to be a bigger career afterward, that he was going to do well afterward, and he clearly has.
You know, in listening to him, I hope someday my 14-year-old son comes back to me like he did to Tom Coughlin and says, hey, you knew what you're talking about.
Yes.
Says the guy with an 18-year-old.
You're right. I hope my 18-year-old son knows that someday.
Let's get into
about a decade.
Little game we call.
This or that. This or that.
John Osier is not quite running away still. It's like 6-2 now for the season.
Surprised it's
under
that.
Dispute.
Let's start off with number one today.
By who?
Number 90 or 91, that means Branch or Clemens. Who should be expected to deliver more this season with Fowler out?
Go ahead.
I'm going to say Clemens because he's done it. He's the veteran. He's the guy that you brought in last year to do this, showed very few signs of really falling off. So I think he's the guy who should be expected to be the veteran that when you're in a pinch, you go to him.
That makes sense. I'll go with Branch, obviously, because you went with Clemens, but more so because you're talking about a guy who's in the final year of his contract. Looked like he had sort of breakthrough the year before in 2013. Last year had the groin late in the year, kind of kept him out. If he wants another bite of the apple, so to speak, he's going to have to produce this year. And Clemens is what, 42, 43? I mean, at some point you need a young guy that you can go to.
Brian, a winner in the opening question. I think for the first time.
I quit. Thank you very much. That? While I'm ahead.
Number two, Tom Brady, four games. The Patriots fined $1 million, a couple of draft picks. Should there be more penalty, or is it too much?
Well, I think that's a stiff penalty, but I think it's right. I mean, it was fairly clear that there was going to be a penalty come down. And to me, this fits. This fits the crime. You can't go back and take away what they did, but it's a stiff penalty. And when you combine the fact that there were penalties in 07 against this organization by roughly the same people, I don't think it's surprising that this was the penalty. Some people were surprised by the extreme nature of it. I wasn't. I thought it fit.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was all that extreme, although I would say, you know, from my perspective.
You got a million lying around?
Yeah, no, I don't. But Robert Kraft has plenty of those. Go ahead and give this one to him because he makes sense on this one. He's right. It's about right. Oh. I would say this, though. I thought four games for not handing over your phone. Do you know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest. In a country where the former Secretary of State can just say, well, my emails disappeared, you know, the ones that kept on the private server, you have people who are really concerned about turning information over. He didn't turn information over. That, to me, is the biggest issue. Four
Dale's
games for that.
Big on cooperation under the circumstance.
Yeah, you've got to be.
Apparently he didn't.
Yeah, well, that as much as probably or generally or any of that indicated guilt.
Yep.
Well, you conceded, so you lose. Yeah, right? John is the winner.
Good call. Conceded weeks ago.
Number three, the final question. More exciting other sport playoff, NBA or NHL, or are OTA recaps on NFL Network better than both?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm a hockey guy. I mean, I never played it, obviously. I never really followed it. But there's no better theater to me in the spring than a Game 7 or overtime hockey. I don't really know much about it, but I think it's awesome.
Well, I'm supposed to take the other side, but I'm going to tell you how the last 24 seconds with a shot clock, you know, in a game that's tied in an NBA game is exciting. But the entire third period of a hockey game that's tied or the overtime is like that. So what would you rather have, 20 minutes or 24 seconds? I'll go with 20 minutes. I think hockey is.
I'll go with basketball just to be argumentative now.
You're not.
They just give it a loss. Brian's a winner. Hockey's more exciting. There you go.
You need to cancel this or that series right now.
Has won back-to-back weeks for the first time in history. Maybe the last time in history as well.
I think it just sealed it.
Well done, Brian. Thanks a lot.
Have a good rest of your show, John.
Thanks, Brian. All right.
Jaguars 3-packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and locations at EverBank. Pick any three games here at EverBank. Prices start at $99. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. We welcome in our next guest, Jaguars Director of College Scouting, Kyle O'Brien is here. It's great to see you. We appreciate you coming in and coming in. Move up to the mic just a little bit more for us. It's good to have you. And you're about to go on vacation, right? It's all over. The draft's done. You don't have to worry about scouting guys or getting reports anymore, right? That's how it works, right?
I wish that was the case. No, unfortunately, we're well into 2016 already.
How deep are you into that? I mean, if you had to make a list, if you had a comfort level with guys, you feel good about it already.
Oh, yeah. Our scouts the last 2 months have actually, while they've been going to pro days, they actually talk to their sources not only about the players in this year's draft, but they also compile what we call the ABC list for next year's draft. A being players that we feel will be drafted in the first three rounds, B 4 through 7, C priority free agents type.
And is that something that it also helps plan this year's draft a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
And that's fairly, I don't get the impression that was maybe done 15 years ago. That's a fairly forward thinking concept.
We're trying to be, obviously, right. You know, Dave is outstanding in terms of seeing the big picture, and, you know, we make sure that the guys hand in. Our ABC list was due 2 weeks before the draft, and it kind of helps give Dave an idea as to, you know, these are the positions that are strong next year. These are the positions that are strong this year. It helps him see the big picture and get a better game plan as to how he wants to approach the draft, and he's done an outstanding job with that.
Kyle O'Brien is with us. Let's go through this year's draft then. We'll start off at the top. Dante Fowler Jr. It seemed like Gus and Dave came to a consensus about a week before the draft in terms of who they'd actually pick, but in terms of the scouting process of Dante, when was the first time you set eyes on him, and what stands out about him? When he's healthy, obviously.
He just kind of jumps off film. You know, his explosiveness, the way he, you know, you you hear Coach Bradley talk about Code Black all the time. Play hard, play fast, play together. Dante embodies Code Black on the field. I mean, he plays his tail off. He is explosive at the point of attack. He's explosive to close. And to be perfectly honest, he just plays the game the way a defensive end should play the game.
Do you, and we'll go back to the draft class in a minute, but do you have a better feel now when you look at a player, when you're out there, you either see him in person or on film, of, yeah, Gus and the staff is going to like this guy, as opposed to maybe 2 years ago? There's a comfort level that develops.
Absolutely, and I have to be honest, Gus and the coaching staff have been great from day one. Dave and Gus, from day one, since I've been here, you know, they have a shared mm-hmm. vision as to how they want this team to be built. They have a shared vision along with Mr. Khan as to the kind of Jaguar football player they want here. And, you know, I know we use the term Code Black, but we do want Code Black players. We want guys who love to play the game. And it sounds simple. I know a lot of people out there, they think that sounds simple, but there truly are a finite number of guys at major Division I colleges playing the game because they truly love it. A lot of them are really talented and they're told this is what they're good at. But to find the guys who truly love to play the game, those are the guys we're looking for. And we feel like we've brought some in, and they're, you know, our locker room is starting to be filled up with those kind of guys, Code Black guys.
And we've heard a few times right around the draft that the coaching staff was involved more than ever with the personnel in the scouting department. A lot of meetings together, and that helps out in that process, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You know, our personnel department, they do an outstanding job. I mean, they work countless hours. And right before the combine, after the Senior Bowl, we start giving each coach a list of players that they would like to check. We would like them to checklist at their specific position. We put them alphabetical order by school so that, you know, they can't be influenced by our grades. And then, you know, the month leading up to the draft, we'll meet with both the offense and the defense every day. And the coach will be able to present their cross-check position in the order that they like them. And then Dave and Gus will ask us questions to see how, you know, myself, Andy Dangler, Paul Rell, Mark Ellens, Chris Polian, Cub Driggers, you know, and just we'll just talk about players. And obviously it's up to Dave and Gus to make the final decision. But it is great to be in an environment where you feel comfortable to give your opinion, even if you're in the minority at that.
I know you go alphabetical, but every once in a while you'll put a guy in bold just to
Hopefully they can figure those players out on their own. Hopefully they don't need any hints like that.
On the day of the draft, you talked out to the media, and it was striking to me how you clearly liked the way it was coming off the board.
Yes, sir.
And you liked how day three was developing. As you've pulled away from that a little bit and had a chance to maybe digest it or absorb it, did the draft go as well in terms of how it fell to you as you thought then?
Yeah, we're really very excited to have the guys that we got. Not only do we feel that they're good football players, but we truly do feel that they're a really good mix for our locker room and for Jacksonville as a whole. You know, we are very excited about this year's draft.
Now, have you had years where it didn't feel that way after?
Yes.
So this is a different thing?
Yeah.
Let's go through them year by year, Kyle. It'll be great. We'll call names.
I mean, obviously, you know, nobody walks away from the draft but there have been a couple of years, and this is, you know, years back, where you're kind of, dang, I wish we thought that kid was going to be there, and then he went, and then, or if he'll go, like, right as, you know, you feel like you're filling out the card, the team in front of you snags that guy, and then you're scrambling, and sometimes that's not always the best way to go about it.
Let's go through a few more of the picks before we get out of here today. TJ Yeldon, we've talked about it, John and I did, right after the rookie minicamp. It's a rookie minicamp, but he shows all the skills that's advertised, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's got those feet and the vision and the ability to just make stuff happen, right?
He just knows how to run the ball. He just knows how to run the ball. I mean, he has, from day one, like I said on draft day, he just knows how to run the ball. He's got excellent vision. When you start going in there, you're like, okay, who is this kid who's running the ball?
Right.
You know, like, who is this kid? When is he going to be eligible for the draft? And he has outstanding feel. He's got excellent lateral agility in his pick and slide, and he can just kind of – he's got that literal lateral pick and slide, and then he's got that short area burst to get to the second level. And he is strong. He is a big boy. And, you know, some people, you know, some of the naysayers were saying he's not truly explosive. But I challenge him to go back to watch the film and count how many times he's carrying two or three defenders.
What'd you say about the lateral? What's it called, the terminology? The
lateral agility is called pick and slide.
See, I call it L1, R1 on PlayStation. it's those buttons.
That's exactly right, yeah. I used to use Fred Taylor for that. Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Of the other, I mean, day three guys, we mentioned the guys that kind of slid back. You're happy to get a lot of these guys, but of those guys, who do you expect to stand out the most in year one? I'm just going to put
year
you in the
one.
Spot. Yeah,
I mean, obviously, you know, we were talking about TJ Yeldon. He's the one who's going to be carrying the ball, and so we're hoping that he has that type of impact. But to be perfectly honest, we're excited to see all of our guys compete. You know, last year, a lot of our guys were forced to compete, and they competed well, and we're hoping that it's the same thing. You know, competition breeds good things, in our opinion, and we're hoping that it translates.
We appreciate your time. It's good to visit with you, and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Well done today.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Kyle
Thank
Ryan, you. Director of College Scouting, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Join us for Jaguars Thursday tomorrow night, 6 to 7 p.m., Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, and yours truly tomorrow at 6 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And always interesting to hear behind-the-scenes thoughts about how the picks are, you know, talked about in the background. You know?
Yeah, and I asked him that for a reason. Some years you do hear that, we didn't quite love this, we didn't quite love this. Doesn't always get out. This year, from the time he talked, every scout that talked, will tell you it fell the way they wanted. I thought he did a good job expressing that.
Our thanks to Bucky Brooks. Follow him at Bucky Brooks on Twitter from NFL Network. And our thanks to Kyle O'Brien, Brian Sexton, John Osier, and for everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. It's Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.